Now, throughout the program this morning, we're reporting on a partial shutdown of the federal government that could happen tonight at midnight. It is looking more and more unlikely that lawmakers will agree on a spending bill to avoid that. With just hours to go, the federal government and its workforce are waiting in limbo. This would be the first time in nearly 18 years that a legislative standoff has idled large parts of the government. And NPR's Scott Horsley reports that the stakes were not always this high.
Drawn-out fights over spending bills are nothing new for Congress, but that's where the fights used to stay, in Congress. The rest of the country didn't have to pay much attention to countdown clocks and all this drama.
In the 60s and 70s, down until 1980, it was not taken that seriously at all.
Charles Tiefer is a former legal advisor to the House of Representatives, who now teaches at the University of Baltimore Law School. In the old days, he says, when lawmakers reached a budget stalemate, the federal workforce just went about its business.
It was thought that Congress would soon get around to passing the spending bill, and there was no point in raising a ruckus while waiting.
That easygoing attitude changed during the last year of the Carter administration. That's when Attorney General Benjamin Civiletti issued a legal opinion saying government work cannot go on until Congress agrees to pay for it.
They used an obscure statute to say that if any work continued in an agency where there wasn't money, the employees were behaving like illegal volunteers. And so they not only could shut off the lights and leave, they were obliged to shut off the lights and leave.
Civiletti later issued a second opinion with a less strict interpretation, allowing essential government services to continue in the absence of a spending bill. But even with that exception, the stakes of a legislative standoff had been raised, which could be why lawmakers suddenly got serious about making deals. In the years leading up to Civiletti's opinion, budget standoffs lasting a week or more were commonplace. But after the opinion, no standoff lasted more than 3 days, until the epic government shutdowns of 1995.
It was a calculated gamble on the part of the Speaker, Newt Gingrich.
Steve Bell was a Republican congressional aide.
And I was part of a group that would go over to his room, which we called the Dinosaur Room, because he had a big dinosaur head that he had borrowed from the National History Museum, and it was on the end of his desk there in the Speaker's conference room.
It was there the new Republican majority in Congress decided to push their spending fight with President Clinton to the limit, even if it meant shutting down the government.
And at first, about half of us thought it was a bad idea, and half of us thought it was a good idea. But in the perfect example of groupthink, we talked ourselves into believing that, oh, the president will get blamed and we will be able to get our way.
Bell, who's now with the Bipartisan Policy Center in Washington, says the Gingrich gamble didn't pay off, except for President Clinton.
So we went through all of this for almost no savings, and we successfully reelected someone that we thought we were supposed to defeat.
As the 1995 shutdowns dragged on, more and more federal employees were called back to work, as the definition of what's essential gradually expanded. J. David Cox was a VA nurse at the time. He says while federal workers eventually received back pay, they didn't get paychecks during the shutdown itself.
What company do you know of, if IBM tomorrow morning said, we're requiring everybody to come to work and we're expecting you to do the job, but we're not going to pay you on payday, and we don't know when we're going to pay you? Tell me about the morale of IBM at that point.
Today, Cox heads the largest union of federal workers. He joins Tiefer and Bell in saying most shutdowns in the past turned out to be counterproductive. A handicap for lawmakers is that the White House makes the call of which employees are deemed essential and keep showing up for work. So even though Obamacare has been the main bone of contention in this year's fight, President Obama insists the new health insurance exchanges will open on schedule tomorrow, even if much of the rest of the government shuts down. Scott Horsley, NPR News, The White House.